Good day, friends and family in the KSJD listening area. This is Mike McAllister, aka DJ Mike, and I have a real treat for you today. An artist who I've had the privilege of seeing come up from the very beginnings of her career 25 years ago to the sensation that she is today. I'd like to welcome Ruthie Foster to the show today. Welcome, Ruthie.
Hi, Mike. I'm so glad to be with you today.
We're glad to have you on the phone, and it's, I gotta say, it's an honor and a privilege to have someone so great on the phone, someone who we have been listening to for years. You're loved by our DJs. All of your catalog is played on our radio station. All the locals know who you are. You get regular plays, and most everyone has been to your shows either at Pagosa Springs or Telluride. I gotta say, Ruthie, you put on a knockout performance last year at Telluride Blues and Brews. I was right down in front, and I gotta say, it was everything I expected from a Ruthie Foster show. You have this way of being so present in the moment when you're performing, and I think everybody in the crowd, whether they knew you or didn't know you at that time, connects to that in such a real and visceral way. Not to mention the simple fact that from knowing you for all these years, off stage, you are just as kind and humble and just a completely down-to-earth person. We just love you here.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you. That was a beautiful time for the entire band at the Telluride Festival, especially getting a chance to hang out and meet the crew with George Glenn's band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they put on a real good show.
Oh, my gosh. It was a great time. Yeah, the only thing was just catching, you know, we had to get a little bit of oxygen before getting on the stage.
Of course.
Other than that, it was a grand time for sure.
No doubts. So what we're here to talk about, though, of course, is your latest album where you put together the Ruthie Foster Big Band. And that's not your first time playing with a big band, you know, from what I know of you. But I was curious. And of course, the album is called Live at the Paramount. There's also a DVD. Is that correct with it?
You are correct. I think there's going to be at some point access to the video.
Yeah.
I think they had about four cameras running that night.
Yeah. I mean, I watched it on YouTube, so it's definitely available on YouTube right now. Great place to watch it. Amazing performance. So I was curious, what inspired you to make a big band album and do it live?
You know, it's been a while since I've had a chance to do that. I was a big band singer in the United States Navy for my 4 years in the military, in the Navy band, while I was stationed in Charleston, South Carolina. And a lot of folks don't know that. A lot of my fans know that I was in the military, but they don't know that I was actually in a military band. And that was something I did every weekend. We go to a school or some function on the East Coast there. And I'd get a chance to sing a little bit of Ella Fitzgerald to Sarah Vaughan and even some of the more, you know, popular music too. That was another band I would travel with, seven of us in a van, just to different schools, and we'd sing all the popular music there was too. I just hadn't had a chance to do the big band thing though, in such a long time, and I really missed it. And I love the music. I love the era of swing music, and so I wanted to mix the big band aspect of music with my own material, which is what this album is. A lot of the songs, 90% of the music is music that my fans have heard before from my last four CDs at least, but it's just put to you know, like a 20-piece band on stage, and I get the chance to get dressed up and look super sharp, and at the end, I do a quick change into a gown. It was just so much fun to do.
Oh, yeah. It looked like you were having a great time from the video, no doubt about it. And some stellar musicians that you played with as well, from the Austin, Texas area.
Yes, we had several professors from University of Texas music, the Butler School of Music here on stage, and a lot of the horn players, the guys in the brass section and the woodwind section, the saxes and the trumpet players, they're all superstars here in Austin and nationwide. These guys all play with different people. They've played with Prince, they've played with you just name it. These guys are just sharp. Yeah, so it was a lot for me to, you know, I felt like I was trying to keep up with them for a lot of the set that we did, because they are just awesome, super musicians. And yeah, you know, it was just great to bring Austin together too. Mm-hmm. Just the city of Austin together for one night. We filled a 1,000-seater theater that night, the Paramount, and they had drinks in the front, in the foyer. They had drinks named after my songs. It was just a real, big night of just having some fun with some swing music and blues music and really whatever else we could throw in there.
Yeah, I got to say, and your interaction with the band was so cool, the way you kind of got impromptu with the trombonist and different musicians, and it just looked like a great time all around. Yeah.
These guys they're super professional when it comes to when you give them a chance to step out front and do their solo. You know, they're really good about just going back into the bandstand, but I really wanted to feature as much of them as I could, so I went to them. You guys get a chance to see in some of the videos, I just take my microphone and walk over to where they are and take another solo.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, yeah. So the songs on the album is quite a variety of tune. Of course, your own originals, like Brand New Day, Joy Comes Back, Death Came a Knockin', which was a knockout performance of that tune. And then, of course, you did a really unique version of Ring of Fire, really nice arrangement on that one. And you ended with some big band classic standards, Mack the Knife and Fly Me to the Moon. And how did you go about picking the tunes for this album?
Well, one of the songs I really wanted to feature, because I love the arrangements. And, there are a few of them that are original, but for the most part, it was just really about songs I wanted to sing again and bring something different to the mix. So, yeah, Ring of Fire, that's an arrangement that I came up with, actually. It's not your usual Ring of Fire. Get a chance to hear it.
Yeah.
That was fun. A Phenomenal Woman. Yeah, I love doing that. It's a song based off of Maya Angelou's poem, Phenomenal Woman.
Uh-huh.
And the fellas really took off with that. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
I got a chance to play guitar in the band, so that was fun for me. And then I stuck a couple of swing standards at the end of the night. You know, Fly Me to the Moon, and Mack the Knife is one of my favorites, the Ella Fitzgerald, Duke Ellington version of it.
Yeah, and you tell that great story about when you're in New Jersey, and you... You want to tell that one real quick?
Yeah, sure. My then husband and I were living in Passaic, New Jersey. I was signed with Atlantic Records at that time, and we didn't have a lot of money. We had moved from Charleston, South Carolina, to be up there amongst, you know, all these fabulous musicians and all this music. And we were walking past Radio City Music Hall, and we saw that Ella Fitzgerald was going to be playing that weekend. And we only had so much money in our pocket at the time, and it was really reserved to get our electricity turned on at our house that we just moved in. And we looked at each other and thought, well, we could either hang on to our money and get our electricity turned on, or we can see Ella Fitzgerald and just come home to a dark house. And we decided to just go see Ella Fitzgerald, that's for sure. Yeah, so we had a great night of listening to Ella that night, that weekend, and came home to a dark house and a cold house, and we were fine, just fine with that. Because how many times you get a chance to see Ella Fitzgerald?
No doubt. No doubt about it. Yeah, that could be life-changing for certain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad we did that.
Yeah.
I still say it was just a great choice.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take a little left turn on you. You know, 2020 has been a really tough year for musicians and artists all around with this COVID situation. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, how are you coping with that situation as a musician, artist, and as a person?
You know, I've had a really, I'm getting a chance to be with my kid. And for me, that's just precious time, you know, and I'm having not a bad, I've done really well with setting myself up. So financially, I'm okay. But I really relish in the chance to just be with my kid. And, we have our own family pod of those that we know that are safe. And so we just kind of hang out together and cook. I'm learning how to cook all over again, I've become a homebody. I just finished ordering my groceries for this evening. You know, it's a new norm, and it is different. But we all went from coping to doing really well and doing our best to help others too. I dropped off some food for an elderly couple a couple of days ago, me and my daughter, just to kind of help take care of the community too. I think if anything, it's done that. It's definitely got more people reaching out in a safe way and trying to help each other. And just in our community, mm-hmm. here within Austin.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's important. You know, I know there's a lot going on nationally and with the government and all of that, but it boils down to, what are you doing with your family and within your community to help the situation? And so it's really this time, you know, that we're all going through, it's really brought that to home for me. And being a traveling musician, I don't get a chance to really even see my neighbors and talk to my neighbors, and this has done that for us. You know, we get out and we're walking and getting mm-hmm. on our bikes and actually getting a chance to sit outside
yep.
as much as you can in Texas because it's 102 right now.
Oh my gosh.
but you know, it's got me getting up at 6 a.m. to water my yard. You know, it's just really, it's interesting. You know, there's some, I know people are having a hard time in a lot of places right now. But I'm doing what I can within my community to help those who do need help. So, yeah, I challenge everybody else, you know, do what you can within your own community, within your own family. It gives you a chance to just kind of reach out, have a 10-minute conversation with a cousin you hadn't talked to in a while.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You're also doing just some work to benefit musicians, I hear, too.
Yes, I am. I'm doing what I can. There's a lot of need, that's for sure. So I'm calling on my other musician friends, you know, to just jump in and help. And when it comes to just doing live streams to kind of help raise money for the musicians that are out of work. And that's all of us right now.
Yeah.
I've basically had to cancel the rest of my year as far as touring. And so I'm lucky enough to have folks like you, old friends, and now DJs for incredible communities that are playing my music, and I appreciate that so much.
Well, we sure appreciate your music. So, Ruthie, I gotta tell my Ruthie Foster story. I tell this to anybody who will listen. It's my one story about you that I just love to relate to my friends and family. It was like 25 years ago, back in the mid 90s, about 94, 95, somewhere in that range. And this is how I first met you. I was hanging out on a random Wednesday night at Northgate. Of course, this is College Station, Texas, right across the street from Texas A&M University, where all the bars and the clubs are right there. And it was in the Northgate Cafe, if you remember that place. And it was a Wednesday night. It was the Lippman Jam, and Lippman is the local music store. And so there I was just hanging out like I always did, but, you know, trying to hang out with musicians and meet people, et cetera, schmooze, as it were. And in you walked and got up on the stage, and you were just so, you know, kind of unassuming, and I didn't know who you were. And you got up on that stage, and I was thinking, of course, at the time, oh, how nice of Brian and Scotty and Cedric to let her up, you know, and play with them, you know, because it was Brian on bass, Scotty on guitar, and I think Cedric at that time was on the drums, if you remember those cats from way back then. And you got up and you sang Stormy Monday, and I just, like, 15 seconds in, my jaw hit the floor. My eyes were wide. I was looking around the room like, who is this person who's a rock star right here on a random Wednesday open jam session doing this? It's the best version of Stormy Monday I've ever heard, you know, before or since. And of course, immediately afterwards, I was like, I got to meet this person. You know, are you in a band? Or, you know, what are you up to? Et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, we crossed paths quite a few times at the coffee houses at Sweet Eugene's and places like that. And of course, the bars and clubs. And then, of course, 1997 brought your album Full Circle. And you just took off career-wise after that. Since then, you've toured the world. 3 Grammy nominations, countless blues awards and nominations. You were inducted into the Texas Music Hall of Fame last year. And this is your 11th album. It's just amazing to say. And I feel like you're still on the rise. How do you feel when you look back at the last 25 years from that little jam session to where you are now?
Wow. To hear it like that, it makes me feel tired. But so extremely grateful. You know, because I feel that I've always tried to do my best, you know, even in that setting that, you know, you just described when I just walked on stage and, you know, here are these cats playing and I know this song. Let me try this one. And I think when we met, I was actually working at a TV station. I was running camera for the local I think it was a CBS affiliate station there.
Yeah.
And that was my day job. And I was fine with that, being able to play music on my own terms, you know, on the weekends. And I think I had just moved from New York back home.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, because your mom.
Yeah. My mom was sick. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I walked away from a record label, and I came home to take care of my mother. And I have not regretted that ever.
I'm sure you didn't. They were going to turn you into something not what you are, right?
Yeah, I think they were. Yeah, they were looking at a their version of an Anita Baker. I do recall that. Uh-huh. So, which was fine, sure. You know. But I needed to be my own person, and moving back home, I needed to just put my feet back on the ground. Living in a place like New York was fun. It was fabulous. It was what I needed to do at that time. But coming back home to Texas and coming back to into the family fold, you know, my family, and I have a huge family, and putting my feet back on the ground as far as just getting a day job and playing music in a setting where just more joyful. That's where I was when we met. I was just joyful that music was in my life still, and I can go do this day job thing, and I enjoy my day job too. But I can still have music in my life and make friends who love the same music that I do, like yourself and everyone else that was there. And it, you know, for me, that is what, that's what brought me. I really think that that's what I needed to do to get to where I am now. I needed to just get real about where I wanted to be. And that was home, and to feel nurtured by friends and family, and to have a job that I still, you know, I still love. You know, I had my day job and I loved that. But to, you know, to have music on my own terms, yeah, that was what that time was about for me.
Yeah.
Well, and I highly recommend that to anybody in music, and you're not loving what you do. You know, that's where you need to get to where you have it in your own terms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that makes all the difference. And I know you have too. You've gotten to that place. It sounds like it anyway.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my
gig. And success follows you, really, once you get to that spot.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well.
You know, all doors were open, windows, everything.
Yeah.
You know, if you just stay the course and being true to what you really want, and that's what's happened for me. So, you know, I hate to make it sound so simple, but, you know, and there were some rough spots. I mean, heck, I still have rough spots. Look at us. We're in a pandemic.
Right.
I can't even tour.
Yeah.
You know, you could look at that as a rough spot. Yeah, it is. In a lot of respects, I have a band, I have a business I'm still trying to hang on to, but I get this chance, this opportunity to be with my daughter, and to actually be on the phone and talk to friends, and actually still with technology where it is, still be able to connect with fans and people that love music and people that need music. You know, we need that.
Oh yeah, more than ever.
Yeah, so I feel, you know, my eyes are wide open in a lot of ways because of where I've been and where I am now.
Yeah.
It's been a journey, that's for sure.
Absolutely, it has. Well, Ruthie, I would like to thank you sincerely for talking to me on the phone today and sharing with our KSJD listeners your story, and of course the story of your latest album, Live at the Paramount, recorded at the Paramount Theater in Austin, Texas, an incredible collection of songs from Ruthie Foster's big band for the first time ever, at least on record. So we love the album. We totally support you completely. You're welcome at our station anytime. Anything you ever want, we'll get for you.
Thank you, Michael. It's been so good to talk to you.
You bet, Ruthie. Good to talk to you too.
All right, darling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.